Foreplay. With Pierce McCarthy. Let's talk about the four songs that you wrote that are most personal to you. Foreplay.
Hey there, folks, and you're very welcome to another bonus episode of Foreplay. In this episode, I'll be picking my favourite song from each of the episodes numbered 6 to 10, where we'll hear the story behind each song. So the first artist we're going to hear from is Stephanie Rainey, and the song I've chosen is Please Don't Go.
Your hand till it goes cold. I hold my tears until you go. With all the life that leaves your bones, it soaks the purpose from my own.
How the piano note at the end just plays out. When I listen to it, it reminds me of, I suppose the imagery is like the soul leaving the body.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it, because I think when we recorded it first, we recorded it in a studio where we did it all live. So It felt like it had ebb and flow. We kind of sped up and slowed down. and we were just about to send it off to be mixed, and just didn't feel right to me. It felt a bit too rough and ready, and it felt a little bit like we were trying to kind of capture, I suppose, how we always felt it live when we would play it, and it would have this energy. But me and my keyboard player Sarah, we just realized just the day it was going off, we were like, this is not right. So we sat down and we reworked it, and we made it really, really driven by the piano and gave it that space, you know. Mm. And because especially at the very end there, you know, you just need that space to be able to hear the lyric. Mm. And to be able to, I guess, kind of really sink in and feel it. Mm. And yeah, I've never really thought about what you just said, but that's a really beautiful way of putting it, because I suppose at the very end of the song, it's, you know, it's clear that the person has gone.
I mean, the thing that I find is, I mean, through life, yeah, we're going to lose lots of people, but I always find there's that one loss that just cuts the hardest.
Yeah, you know, I think as well, it's like when it's somebody young, and obviously Fionn was just about to turn one, I think there's a huge level of trauma that comes along with something like that, just for a family, you know. And I guess it's just, it's something very unnatural and very, I don't know, it's really, it just shakes your life up in a way that you can't prepare yourself for. And so, yeah, I think that trying to write about it was hard for a long time. And then when I finally wrote Please Don't Go, I just knew from writing it and from demoing it and from playing it live the first few times, or playing it to the first few people, I just knew that I'd kind of captured whatever that was, whatever it is that you're afraid of, whatever it means to lose somebody and all of the things that you have to go through. I think it was like, I just hit the nail on the head.
In episode 7, we virtually travelled to Dublin, where Danny O'Reilly from The Coronas joined us, and the song I've picked is Cold.
Like a cold, wet night in Dingle, very late, and I was just banging away on the piano trying to play random rhythms, and this sort of little song came that didn't sound like anything else I'd written before. And I think that's the reason I picked it. It's not a single, it's not a hit Corona song, but it was different and it said what I wanted to say, and it sort of, it wasn't just like, oh, my heart is broken because I've gone through another breakup. It was like, it just had a different angle on the whole thing. And I was I sort of liked that. And musically, it was very different. Even the arrangement of it, it starts in a chorus and it's all over the place.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was about to say to you. Yeah. The chorus is that good that you can start the song with it. And and for me, musically, right, I just think the song is absolutely epic. It just builds and builds. And, you know, when you go into your second chorus, it starts to kick in. But for me, when the second verse comes in, the stuff that's going on, like I always listen on headphones and, you know, there's little licks going on with the guitars and, there's a little bit of keys coming in and out. And it's just musically, you see, I'd be a huge fan, we say, of Porcupine Tree, of Rush, of Yes, these bands who just love epic music songs.
Yeah.
And to me, it's kind of that kind of a vein. When I was listening to it, I was like, ooh, this is something different from you guys.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm glad that I really appreciate you saying that, because definitely the second verse for me is really important part of the song.
Yeah.
And it's like, it takes a while to get there. It's like the second verse, I think it's like 2 minutes in before the second verse starts. Like, but it is that arrival moment. And as you say, there's all little subtle things going on. And I have to give credit to our producer, George Murphy, who produced the album in London. And we sent him a demo that was, and to be honest, in a lot of ways, he didn't veer too much from the demo. Like the demo had harmonies in the cold bits. It started with a chorus and all. But where George really came into his own is all those subtle little textures in verse two, and you know, and just the sounds and the sonically where it sits. And the other thing that arrived, and I have to give credit to Knox Air bass player, he had the whole outro was his baby. He was like, lads,
oh, wow.
This song, the land, and it needs to be just us going crazy and us banging our instruments, ba, 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 Danny shouting some sort of lyric on top of it, and everyone just banging, and that'll be the where we end up. Because we had, and it was funny because we had actually recorded everything, but we sort of tagged on that outro because we just had gotten up as far as the second chorus, and then we sort of did the verse two groove again as an outro, and it was just like, yeah, okay, but it needs to end up somewhere, you know? And that was his idea of, all right, we'll just start banging and go crazy at the end. And it's the loudest moment on the album. It's a huge payoff. And we played it only twice before lockdown. And both times we were all like, that was a lot of fun.
In episode 8, we were in Limerick chatting to Emma Langford. The song I'm featuring is Sowing Acorns.
My loneliness reverberates from the thin cold walls. It's where I sleep, where I work, it's where I daydream.
I've been holding out.
where reason allows. These eyes grow weary now, tracing the line.
As a lullaby, I was just off the back of 3 weeks of sleeplessness, anxiety, fever dreams. I was finishing my master's. So there was a lot going on, and I had been asked to do this tour of Germany as well. So there was a lot of, and I just finished recording my first album. So there was so much to contend with and so much uncertainty and so much pressure. And this song kind of just emerged from me picking up the guitar in a non-standard tuning and allowing all of that anxiety to just filter out through the guitar and using it as catharsis. And then I had things I knew I wanted to kind of work through in the song a little bit. Images that were in my head, that darkness that you mentioned, that sense of you can try and push that down, but sometimes you have to let it out somehow. You have to say out loud what it is you're seeing, what you're feeling, how things look to you. And that can help so much. It doesn't, you know, saying it out loud doesn't make it go away, but it makes it less of a boogeyman,
yeah,
I think.
The boogeyman.
So that was what that song was for me. It was...
Was it healing for you?
I slept that night for the first time in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And I wasn't afraid of my own dreams, which was quite nice.
Yeah, I love that line. Dreams are the locked box kept deep in the mind, and some fear but hides behind their own closed eyes.
When I first heard that, I was like, my God,
do you know that? You close your eyes and it's like, oh no, all the most horrible monsters, as that's what I used to call them, my monsters. I was afraid of the big bad monsters, and you'd be afraid to close your eyes because the monsters came then.
Absolutely, yeah. That those moments of silence are when things can get in, I suppose, or that's how it feels in those times.
That silence can be so loud.
Oh, it can. It certainly can. Yeah, and it can really be deafening. And sometimes that deafening is a good thing. It shuts things out. But most of the time, it just it's overwhelming. So I guess I was in this place of trying to process what I was going through and how I was going to come through it. And the chorus of the song, of course, like the verses are quite dark and introspective. The chorus is exuberant. It's joyous. It's this sense of all of these things, all these moments, all this darkness, they're all just seeds you're planting. You have to be patient. You know, you have to allow those things to evolve and see what happens. And all going well, you'll find yourself at the top of those trees looking and surveying your kingdom, and you'll have this forest of experience that you should never regret.
We came back to Cork for episode 9, and Liam O'Shea from The Grunts was my guest. And his song that I've picked is "The Guy Who Stalked You Has Become the President."
Creep is dead. Said it gotta stop you at the kind of like, you know, he's a businessman from New York.
Yeah.
You know, to survive in that ecosystem, I mean, you were ruthless. Bobbled all the way up to the top and owns vast banks of land in that city. And he survived with all the sharks. So he's, in his deepest core, he's a shark.
Yeah.
He knows the voice of the, you know, the common person. He played all those strings, you know. But he resonated off some very bad things, like there was racism element, immigrants coming into America. He played off those cards. And that's basically, people disliked him for that. You find that, well, you know, most of the TV stations, they always had never had a good word to say about Trump throughout the 4 years. By the way, he's gone now, so we can move on.
Yeah. Oh, man, 100%. Now, yeah. Is this one of the most political songs that the Grunts have ever written?
Yeah, this is our most political song. I mean, with a title like "The Guy That Stalked You Has Become the President," it's real punk. It's real energy. There's a touch of Echo the Bunnymen, touch of the Ramones in it. Yeah, it's a rock. We love playing it. Whenever we go, you even get to hear the national anthem in it at the end, the American national anthem.
Yeah,
it's got everything.
And our final journey takes us to London, where Ruth Ann was my guest for episode 10. And her gorgeous song, "The Vow," is my choice in this bonus episode.
When time is up and the sun it dies, until the rivers flood and the ocean dries, hand in hand under the falling sky, I will love you. When I'm all so old that I lose my mind, but I'll still look at you like it's the first time. So many say it and it's all a lie, but I will love you. You are the reason I make it through the day. You give me the my constant. When we've walked the earth every inch and mile, left so hard until we cry, through every triumph and every trial, constant. Ocean dries, hand in hand under the falling sky, I will love you.
Well, "The Vow" is definitely one of the most personal and one of my proudest songs that I've ever written, and it means a lot to me. And the way that it's been received by people walking down the aisle to it and getting engaged to it, and, you know, seeing people's babies falling asleep to "The Vow" and soothing them. And so it's really become one of my most popular songs as an artist, and it was my first release as an artist, so it's a really special song to me. So that's why it's one of my one that I chose.
Did I read somewhere that I think your parents are many, many moons married and a lot of the song is directed towards them?
Yeah, like what's interesting is that I actually wasn't with anyone at the time that I wrote it.
Okay.
And I woke up, I had been speaking to a male friend on the phone the night that I wrote it. And I was saying to him, on my parents, at the time, they were 43 years married when I wrote it. And I was saying, you know, I just want to find someone that, you know, is my partner and that unconditional love, like my parents have, you know, have this years of marriage and everything. And I fell asleep that night and I woke up at 5 a.m. and I woke up with writing and I wrote the lyrics down. It was almost like they came to me in a dream.
Wow.
I woke up, scrambled, wrote them down at 5 a.m. and then I walked into the studio the next day and I said, I think I've written the cheesiest song I've ever written, but I think it also might be lovely, because at the time I was writing a lot of heartbreak songs. So this was like a love song. So yeah, for me, it felt cheesy. So I read out the lyrics I had written and Future Cut, who I wrote the song with, were like, oh my God, that's like what I would say to my wife at our wedding. It's like a vow. So I called the song The Vow and we wrote it. Like, I had all the lyrics done and basically they started playing chords and we wrote it in very quick time. The melodies, everything was done very quickly. So it was just one of them magical moments in songwriting that you don't get every day, and where it just came very easy.
I actually thought when I read that about your parents, because my parents, they're 56 years married and they're 60 years together, you know, and there's the line in the song that when I heard it, I kind of thought, yeah, you know what, because my parents, like my dad's 81 and my mother's 77, but when they walk down the street, they still hold hands. It's very, very romantic. And the line that really hit me that would sum up my parents' love for each other is, when I'm oh so old and I lose my mind, I'll still look at you like it's the first time.
Yeah, that one gets to me as well, because that's what I've seen my parents are like with each other.
Yeah,
they still are like teenagers in a way, and they still have that fun love and they still kind of, you know, they play tricks on each other and they have a laugh and they sing together and everything like that. And what's interesting is that I was writing it from the perspective of the love that I've watched growing up, but also the love that I wanted to have and the unconditional love that we all kind of long for. And in my life at the time, I didn't have that. But when I was looking around me, I had so many friends that I had that unconditional love with, and I had so many, and my parents and my family. And so I wanted the song to not just be to a lover, but to be just about
people we love.
Relationship between relationship between mother to child, or, you know, like any type of unconditional love. And it really has, you know, I've gotten so many amazing messages from people who've lost grandparents who say that The Vow reminds them of their relationship with their granddad. And the line, "You are my constant," is a line that was quite a topic of conversation between me and the writers, of like, oh, I don't know, that's never really been said. Like, can you say that? Is that the right thing to say? And I was like, well, we're keeping it in, because any type of, like, you know, discussion like this means the line is good because it's unique. And it's the line that's been, I've gotten so many people that have proposed using that line and saying that the song gave them that line to use to propose, and just like all them type of stories. And for it to really connect with people in the way that it has really, like, kind of blown me away. And it just reminds me of how important it is to write music like The Vow that has a real authentic kind of unconditional love element to it, because then people can connect to it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of 4Play. If you're an artist or a band and you're interested in getting in touch, then you can do so in many different ways. You can email me at podcast4play@gmail.com, on Twitter at podcast4play, on Facebook at 4Play Music Podcast, and on Instagram at 4Play Music Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again, and we'll chat soon.